You're listening to another sermon by Pastor Michael Zapata from the Potter's House Christian Church.
Second Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to be reading from verses 1 through to 6 out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through to 6. I read a very frightening article this week, and the title of it read, "Ghostlighting Combines Two of the Worst Occurrences." This ghostlighting is a new term that has been coined by social media, where it combines two of the worst things that happen today or can happen today. How many have heard of ghosting? A couple of us, ghosting. Ghosting is when someone ceases to communicate with another person, causing confusion and many times hurt, leaving them wondering what went wrong and why it happened. That's what it means to be ghosted. You're texting someone and everything's fine, and then all of a sudden they decide not to text you back, not to tell you why, and they completely ghost you. There's another thing called gaslighting, and gaslighting is a form of emotional abuse where a person's perception of reality is questioned and undermined until they are unsure of whether they've got a grip on the truth or even if their reality is truth. And so if you could just imagine ghosting and gaslighting, now they've coined ghost lighting, and this is troublesome because it's ghost lighting is explained as a phenomenon when a person is ghosted and then the ghoster comes back to life and convinces them that it never happened to begin with. According to experts, ghost lighting is used to deliberately cause harm and confusion, because by changing the narrative in retrospect, you open the door for further interaction, thus control. Now, there is a ghost lighter that has been functioning since the dawn of time, and that is the devil. And it is no mistake that this generation is operating in such a manner because they are subject to who they serve, the devil themselves. I want to preach to you a sermon to be able to highlight and expose an enemy of our soul that is trying to control our minds, that is trying to control our thinking. And through the Word of God and through the power of God, we can break that and step into what God has designed us to live in, and that is complete freedom and complete truth. A sermon I've entitled "The Glory of God." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through to 6, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants to Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus." The glory of God. I want to look firstly, and I want to focus on the darkness. Now, since the beginning of time, God has been using light to bring about His glory. Number one is He uses light for the purpose of separation, From the beginning in creation, God used light to separate both day and night. Genesis 1:4, and God saw the light and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. In other words, he said there will be time where you will recognize there is darkness, but when darkness finishes, light will come into play. And so we see light is for the purpose of separation. Number two, we see light for the purpose of hope. In Psalms 30 verse 5, for the anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In other words, the psalmist was writing that in dark times, we can feel depressed, we can be overwhelmed, but light comes, and when it comes, it brings hope. How many are glad for that? Number three, the purpose for light is also for knowledge. That there is a spiritual imagery that God brings about in His Word, that darkness creates a lack of knowledge or a lack of sight. But light, when it shines, it brings revelation. And this is where our text is formed in verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is an incredible spiritual awareness where God moves in our circumstances. We come from a state of darkness where we cannot see, where we are confused, when we don't know what is right, when we operate in evil, but light shines and breaks the wickedness of darkness and helps us come to a knowledge of who God is and His glory. God uses light because He's concerned of our ability to see. In other words, He doesn't want us to roam around completely in darkness. So He uses His light. He uses light as a powerful instrument to be able to help us to step into all that He has for us. The story of Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God, had a relationship with God, and in a time where now darkness was beginning to have its way, the Bible says these angels come and cross Abraham's path. They are journeying to one of the darkest cities in the history of mankind, known as Sodom and Gomorrah. And these two cities are now living in complete darkness. And yet here is Abraham. He begins to stand in the gap. And because of this, now the Bible says in Genesis 18:17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? And so because now of a relationship between Abraham and God, God then begins to shine light on His purposes and His plans. Beloved, I'm here to let you know that darkness has no ruling or reigning in your life, in your circumstances, while you have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That darkness has no place. Darkness and confusion or even any kind of mind assault is not allowed in your life as long as you are serving Jesus Christ, because light shines out of darkness and darkness must flee. How many are glad for that this morning? So think about the purpose of this verse. Is that God allows us the ability to now use this light to bring judgment on darkness. Is that because God is light and we are now operating in that light, we have the right to say, this is not right. Devil, get out. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Pastor Wayman Mitchell has taught us that there are some things in life that are unacceptable. Unacceptable. How many know that there are things in life unacceptable, right? There's reversals, there's all of a sudden sicknesses, there's assaults. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable for there not to for a church not to grow, right? It's unacceptable for an outreach not to have salvations. It's unacceptable for your finances not to prosper, or at least you know, be able to be a blessing to you. It's unacceptable when all of a sudden you are assaulted by wickedness and health and all kinds of, you know, assaults. And so this principle helps you to judge darkness. It's unacceptable. I'm a child of God. I have the light operating in me. Why do I feel this way? Why am I overwhelmed by darkness? Because of God, we have the ability to judge between light and darkness. Number two is that God also allows us the ability to spread this to others. In other words, there are people that are in dark places that, because you have the light in you, you can go to them and say, hey, I want to let you know about the hope of Jesus Christ. Is that now you can share your light with somebody else, that you can tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. And this is evangelism. This is why we go on the streets. This is why we do park events. This is so that we can spread the hope of Jesus Christ to the people that are in darkness. Number three, God allows us to now spread this message. We then become instruments for the furtherance of His light. So that's what we are looking at when we are assaulting darkness. Let's look secondly at the purpose of darkness, or the control. Because understanding that God wants us to involve us in the spreading of His light, what we need to understand is that there is a real enemy that is opposing this light. That darkness is trying to rule and reign. And if you think about the context of our scripture, this is why now Paul is writing this second epistle to the church in Corinth, because the first time they had breakthrough, but now by the second time there is a resistance from the Word of God. People were beginning to be weary of the Apostle Paul's teachings because now false doctrine was being spread, and now Paul had to reaffirm and say, no, 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 we're not here to glorify ourselves. We're not here to make ourselves greater than God. We're here to let you know that darkness must flee, that light is through the glory of God. And so our text, it says, verse 2, we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to the every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, he's saying, listen, we're not here to deceive you. We're not here to trip you up. We're not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. In fact, what we are trying to let you know is that the truth of God can be evident in and through our lives. It's visible. It can be seen. Pastor Mitchell would many times challenge a congregation into the supernatural. One of his early stories he mentions of going to a church that was so filled with doubt and unbelief. He invites a preacher to come and preach, and this particular man comes who has shattered his foot. His foot has been shattered, and because of it, it is 2 inches shorter than the other. Pastor Mitchell calls out for anyone who wants to be healed. This man comes up, 2 inches difference. He sits him down as he would traditionally do that. His leg grew out. And a miracle happened before the congregation. The church was not happy about it. They began to argue with him. How could you let this man come in and do these things? This is not right. And Pastor Mitchell, he left that church. He just couldn't deal with that. Darkness had confused a congregation. So it's possible that because of darkness, we'd be deceived about the glory of God and the manifestations of God's glory. In other words, the strategy of the devil is to bring confusion, is to bring some sort of disorienting spirit and try to therefore control the church of God. If you're confused, you don't know what's up, what's right, what's wrong, what's good or what's evil. Now the devil operates in this realm and brings control. See, God doesn't completely remove us from all danger. He helps us to navigate through this, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you got saved and all of a sudden we're just in heaven? It's like, in Jesus' name, amen. Boom, we're in heaven. It's like rejoicing, new bodies. We don't have to deal with, you know, temptations and corruption or anything like that. It's instant heaven. Well, that's not a reality. We have to endure. We have to face real dark times. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you're facing dark times right now, I want to let you know that you're not the only one. We all go through dark times, but that is not your destination. That is not what God has designed for you as a Christian. In fact, God now instructs us to be able to expose the darkness with the light. In book of Matthew 17 through to 21, the Bible says the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast this demon out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will remove, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting." In other words, godliness begins to shine and darkness must flee. Impossibilities become possible because of who we are operating in. The light of God, the glory of God shines through us, and those things that seemingly try to control us have no grip over our lives. This was the first challenge. Jesus equipped some to be able to control the darkness. In James 5:16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." In other words, it's an exercise of our faith that begins to now push back and resist the controlling power of darkness. How many know sometimes you have to pray more than once? How many know sometimes you have to read more than just one scripture, one verse? How many know that sometimes you've got to come to church more than once a year? That might help, right? How many know it's better to fellowship with Christians than sinners? It's not just, well, I fellowshiped with them last year in 2022. Why do I need a fellowship with more Christians? Because it's an exercise of your faith, and the more that your light begins to shine, the more darkness begins to flee. Because I have to declare to you that even though you have light inside of you as a Christian, darkness is always seeking to take control again. I can tell you right now, I've had good-hearted Christians that have prayed and have become frustrated because nothing changed. It's like, well, I'm a child of God. I've got the light of God in me. But I feel like I don't have control. Let me expose a few things to try to help you. Number one, if that is happening, you can always notice that the operation or the control of darkness is alive in your life because it's a work of confusion, right? If you start questioning the Bible, if you start questioning whether Jesus is real, if you start questioning whether there's a purpose or you're saved or that, you know, where you're at right now is the right place for you, listen, that's darkness. That's not of God. That's the control of darkness that is trying to confuse you. How is it that you can come to the same building, get gloriously saved, glory to God, moved supernaturally, all these wonderful things happen, and then you're in the same place, surrounded by the same people, and you feel like you're not even saved? That's darkness. That's the confusing power, the control, the work of confusion in your life. Number two is you can always recognize the work of darkness because it's a spirit of resistance. It's almost as if you're hitting a brick wall. The Bible speaks as though the heavens become like brass, as if your words are being said and they ricochet and fall back down. This is the work of darkness, is that not only is there confusion, but it feels as though I want to move forward. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to please God. But it's like something is holding me back. I'm going to say something. The devil is a stubborn enemy. A stubborn spirit takes time to be driven out. It's almost like, well, I got healed, the pain left. Why is the pain back? Because it's a stubborn spirit. Well, wait a minute, I got dominion on my finances. I got dominion in my life. Why am I struggling with this? It's a stubborn spirit. Do you think that the devil, the moment you walked into the Potter's House Church, he just said, ah, man, I lost him. No, he's waiting for you to walk back to your car and just put that, it's something about the ignition, isn't it? Just put the key in there and, oh, why is the battery not working? Oh, you left the lights on? Can't believe you left the lights on. What's wrong with you, you damn fool? And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what just happened? We just praised God and now we're back to needing Jesus again. It's a stubborn spirit. The devil isn't happy that you came to church this morning. He's not sitting there going, let's just give God praise. He's upset. It's a stubborn spirit. Number three is the temporal relief. If you notice the operation of darkness, it's like the ghost lighting. It's almost like, yeah, we love each other, man. This is so good. And then all of a sudden, you're left abandoned by yourself. And you feel like lonely, you feel like nobody's there. And then all of a sudden, this person steps back into the scene and goes, no, I never left. I'm right here. I always loved you. That's how the devil works. Is that it's temporary. It's like, oh yeah, I'll let you go to church, no problem. But next week, your kids will be sick. And then the week after, oh man, you know, we got dominion in our health. And then all of a sudden, but then it's like a wave of sickness comes. And then it leaves. And a wave of sickness comes and it leaves. Or maybe it's financially. It's like you get all this money and God blesses and then all of a sudden you go broke. You get a speeding fine. You get a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt right. You get, you know, all these things. You go and then you lose your job and it's like, oh my gosh. It's just temporary relief. It's just like, yeah, you know. It's the operation of the works of darkness that is trying to confuse the work of God. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world because of who Jesus Christ is. Let's look thirdly and in closing at the glory of God. Because the glory of God comes to fruition the moment you begin to agree with what Jesus Christ represents. There are facts that we need to live by as Christians. Yes, there is faith. But faith, right, has to be now driven by the facts that we know. Facts that we know Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he died on the cross, and that he rose again. Those are facts. He's alive. He can change. He can do the impossible. And so we don't put our faith in emotions. We don't put our faith in feelings. We don't put our faith in what we think is right. We put our faith in facts. Can we say amen? And it is in those facts that now your faith can be stirred. This is the engine room that drives your faith. It is by faith that now we know Jesus is risen from the dead. He's alive. He can transform me. And so here in our text, the fact is God is light. That's fact. That means darkness must flee. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so listen, darkness is only able to maintain its darkness with the absence of light. When light comes in, darkness flees. So darkness then is God's presence not being available, but you have the presence of God in you. Therefore, wherever you go, darkness must flee. That's facts. Ephesians puts it this way, Ephesians 5:8, for we were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, you don't need a torch, you don't need a flashlight, you got Jesus, right? In the spiritual world, you are walking in the midst of darkness, but wherever you are, wherever you tread, this is an incredible now walk because of light that is in your life. We read later on in verse 9 and 10, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In other words, there are things because of the light in you that you begin to understand. And this is where our text comes to play. Because God is glorious and His light shines. And it's not like a candle or a little bit of light, and it's not just, it's an incredible source of light that never goes out. And it transforms everything it comes in contact with. Moses cries out in Exodus 33:18. He says, please show me your glory. He wants to see all of God. And you read that and you think, that's crazy. He'd probably explode. But yet God says, okay, you want to see me? You want to experience me? You want to know who I am? I'm going to give you a glimpse of that. That is the God that we serve. In Exodus 33, verse 19, he said, I will make all my goodness pass by you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion of whom I will have compassion. In other words, he says, because of this, you're going to now experience mercy and compassion. Grace and compassion. And so now this becomes the facts, the evidence of God's glory being manifested in and through our lives. In other words, there's going to be a demonstration of God's glory through grace and compassion. Let me ask you this morning, what are the gracious things you've experienced by the power of God, by the glory of God? What are the compassionate moments that you've witnessed in your family, in your life, in your health, in your sanity, because of the glory of God? So think about this. That is how you take control back from the wickedness of the darkness. When the darkness tries to creep in, you say, no, I serve a glorious God. And the devil goes, no, you don't. He hates you. And you go, no, he doesn't. Because he moved here, and he moved here, and he moved here. He saved me. He saved my friends. He saved my family. He delivered me. He did this miracle. He did that miracle. You then repeat the gracious and compassionate moments that God has demonstrated to you. That's how you take control. The psalmist writes in Psalms 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That was facts. David understood God is a good shepherd. And guess what every shepherd has? A rod and a staff. It goes with the territory. You take the rod and the staff away from the shepherd, he's not a shepherd. He's just a man standing in the middle of a field. But because he has a rod and a staff, he's a shepherd. And David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley, I know my God has a staff and a rod, therefore I don't have to fear no evil." Because he's equipped and he's ready to move on my behalf. That's facts. It's resting on the grace and the compassion or the mercies of God. That helps you to take back control. The devil says, "No, don't go to church, don't give, don't support, don't go back." And you go, "Devil, absolutely not. Because God has done so many miracles in my life, I can sit here all day and tell you all about them, devil, if you'd like to hear them." And guess what? Ooh, because the devil is a coward, the mention of Jesus' name being glorified causes him to flee. That's where the scripture says, "Resist the devil, he'll flee." He's a coward. He's pathetic. Darkness tries to creep in and you go, "Oh, now that you're here, devil, let me tell you about the testimony of being in conference. Let me tell you what God spoke to me about." And he just runs away. Because it's facts. God's glory will always outshine darkness. It's a fact. Let me close with a story. This is found in the Indian Times report of a man by the name of Singh, married to a woman by the name of Babita. And Singh and Babita were married for a period of time, but Babita, his wife, suffered mentally. And because of that, she needed care, full-time care around her. Her family was actually a support for many years in her upbringing. And so Singh, just naturally being her husband, thought she would be in safe hands if she stayed with her family. He would be working, he would be doing his things, but while at home, Babita would be taken care of by her family. He was wrong. Singh came home one day and found that his wife was gone. Knowing that she was mentally challenged, he began to ask, but the family had nothing to say. This man, Singh, spent the next 8 months on a bike, cycling around India in the hope of finding her. And one day, he sees her begging on the streets, and it's this revelation. He rubbed his eyes. He couldn't believe that she was still alive, but there was something in her that was saying, "I knew you would somehow find me." See, this is facts. God loves you. God cares about you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. You may feel as though, "Well, I don't even feel saved, Pastor." Well, that's a great opportunity for God to show you that you are saved because he's alive in you. It's facts. The glory of God will always outshine darkness. Remind the devil who he is and declare who God is to him. And watch your life once again possess control over the wickedness of darkness and witness the glory of God shine through your life. That's all I have this morning. Why don't we quickly bow our heads? Let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. For more details about our church, service times, and how to donate, please head to our website, www.pottershousegoldcoast.com.au. God bless.